RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reveals reason to nominate Hadi Cahyanto for TNI Chief. Indonesians at home and abroad should cooperate to prepare for the Congress. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has revealed the reason to nominate Marshal Hadi Cahyanto for the Armed Forces TNI Chief. President Jokowi said that Marshal Hadi has strong leadership skill and ability to make the TNI more professional. The nomination of Marshal Hadi Cahyanto was revealed on Monday morning when State Secretary Minister Pratikno met the House of Representatives DPR to forward a nomination letter for Hadi to replace the TNI Chief General Gatot Nurmantyo. President Joko Widodo said that he has nominated Cahyanto as Nurmantyo is retiring. The president added that Hadi will still have to undergo a fit and proper test at the DPR before replacing Gatot. Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Egypt, in cooperation with the Directorate General of National Export Development, Indonesian Ministry of Trade, hold the business forum of palm and coffee sector in Cairo on December 5 to 9, 2017. The business forum is intended to support the realization of an increasing export of Indonesia's main product and potential product in Egypt and surrounding areas. Indonesian Ambassador to Egypt, Helmi Fauzi, said Egypt, with population of 96 million people, has developed rapidly and offers great potential in trade, tourism and investment. Moreover, Helmi Fauzi added that Egypt is one of partners of non-traditional trade, which is important for Indonesia. Indonesian product export ranks 17, which enters to Egypt by dominating market by 1.72%. Meanwhile, Director General of National Export Development, the Ministry of Trade, Arlinda Imbagia Jaya, said that the business forum is held to strengthen business relations between stakeholders of both Indonesia and Egypt. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that the government has formed many financial institutions to support research and downstream of technological innovation. Financial program which is formed by the government, among others Credit Business People or KUR or KUR in conventional bank and Sharia bank, as well as encouraging venture capital. In his speech at the Week of Technological Innovation Downstream and Business Startup 2017 at Brawijaya University in Malang, East Java, the Vice President also said venture capital is the financing which is suitable to develop technological research, especially in welcoming the growth of the digital economy. According to Vice President Yusuf Kalla, the financing through Ventura Capital is similar to financing through Sharia financial institution. It needs a synergy between the central government and regional government to form technological research development centers. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta Monday held focus group discussion with the theme preparing for a World Indonesianist Congress, Role of Generation Z. The forum is participated in by around 80 foreign students from 42 countries who are studying in various colleges in Indonesia. The event is held as a networking forum to share ideas and to absorb opinions and aspiration from Generation Z, or a generation that lives in an age that has supported advanced technology, after giving remarks in the discussion forum. Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs A.M. Fahrir said that Indonesians, not only from abroad but also at home, have to cooperate to create good combination.
Untuk menghidupkan kembali di Indonesianis-Indonesianis, kita dulu punya generasi pertama.
To revive Indonesianis, in the past we had first generation. Now it's the second generation, and we hope the young people will be Indonesianis. And because of that, a good combination between Indonesianis from abroad and also enthusiasts from us need to synergize. We hope that it will be the first step for us to hold Congress. A.M. Fahrir hope the result of the forum can become substantive input to support the implementation of the Indonesianist Congress next year, which has a theme World Indonesianist Congress, Role of Generation Z. The Congress is also hoped to be able to give positive contribution to the development of Indonesians around the world. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Remembering West Kalimantan, which is wider than Java Island, the region needs longer time to build road infrastructure, so the most appropriate transportation road for this region is river. This was stated by head of representative office of Bank Indonesia of West Kalimantan Province, Dwi Suslamanto, after giving remarks during the 2017 annual meeting of Bank Indonesia and West Kalimantan Economic Outlook 2018 in Pontianak on Monday, 4th of December. Dwi Suslamanto recommended the government to maximize the river as transportation line of West Kalimantan.
Kalau kita mau mengharapkan lagi jalan, itu masih lama.
We want to build a road. It is still a long time. Moreover, the government has limited budget. Only the main roads become priority, while inland production centers are one of our efforts to maximize the river transportation. Furthermore, Dwi Suslamanto said that to maximize the water transportation, the government should maintain it. The huge trees around the area should not be cut down. Its water should not be contaminated, especially by mines, so the transportation process at the river will be smoother. The Bali Civil Society and Media Forum began its annual meeting in Banten on Tuesday. The meeting, initially scheduled in Bali, was moved because of the Mount Agung eruption. The two-day forum focuses on the question of whether democracy brings justice, security, and welfare. Civil society and media leaders from Indonesia, the Philippines, Vietnam, Laos, and ambassador from Denmark and the Netherlands are among the speakers in the forum, organized by the Institute of Peace and Democracy and the Indonesian Press Council. Indonesia has 4 years championed democracy. Former Foreign Minister Hasan Wirayuda once cited the oft-quoted remark that democracy is the worst form of government except for all the others. A similar theme is set for the Bali Forum for Democracy, an annual gathering of leaders set to open this year on Thursday in Banten. The last item, the demand for coconut flour product from North Sulawesi province from European countries is quite high at the end of 2017 because before Christmas and New Year, there is a considerable increase of demand. It was stated by the head of Foreign Trade and Industry Office of North Sulawesi, Darwin Muksin, in Manado on Tuesday. Darwin said that coconut flour from North Sulawesi is usually exported to Italy, the Netherlands, the United Kingdom, Germany, and other countries. North Sulawesi export coconut flour to Italy as many as 25 tons at the end of November 2017 and is able to produce foreign exchange for the country by more than $56,000. The government hopes the opportunity can be utilized well by exporters in North Sulawesi by increasing the production. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is National Payment Gateway Facilitates Transactions. Bank Indonesia and BI officially launched the National Payment Gateway at Indonesian Building in Jakarta on Monday. As a form of interconnection between switching and interoperationality or mutual operation of the national payment system. Switching, as referred to in the provision of Bank Indonesia, administer the processing of payment transaction. The launch of National Payment Gate was conducted by Governor of Bank Indonesia Agus Wartomardoyo and with Coordinating Minister for Economy Affairs Darmin Nasution, State-owned Enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno, Social Affairs Minister Kopipa Indar Parawansa, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani, and Minister of Communication and Informatics Rudiantara. With the motto safe, reliable, and trustworthy, it is expected that this national payment gateway will encourage the Indonesian banking industry to be more efficient. The community will later have one payment card only. As the beginning of the existence of this national payment gate, the public will be introduced with ATM or debit cards with national logo. The card not only can be used for transaction in the country but also accepted in all merchants abroad. Indeed, Indonesia have to wait for 20 years to implement this national payment gate. It's never too late to provide comfort and convenience for the community, because soon after the launch of the National Payment Gateway, this can be used. Banks will be more efficient and can be connected to each other. In the future, there may be no more ATM machines for various banks lining up. Of course, many advantages are expected with the launch of this National Payment Gateway. Take for example, the payment system mechanism and related things can be easier and more efficient. Reduced supply of ATM machines and electronic data recorders will drive cost-efficient banking technology infrastructure, so unused machines can be sent to remote areas in need. No cash assistance programs launched by the government can be done well and smoothly in a bid to reduce or to prevent fund leak. Last but not least, the assistance of national logo listed on ATM and debit cards will strengthen Indonesian sovereignty. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with an outstanding events happening today in the past, today in history. Let's begin with December 5, 1936, when Soviet Constitution, also known as Stalin's Constitution, was adopted. The Soviet Constitution of 1936, or Stalin Constitution, was adopted on December 5, 1936 to reorganize the Soviet Union. The constitution lifted voting restrictions and added work rights guarantee to the previous constitution. In addition, the constitution recognizes collective social and economic rights, including the right to work, rest and leisure, health protections, care in old age and sickness, housing, education and cultural benefits. The constitution also provides for direct elections of all government bodies and their reorganization into a single system. The 1936 constitution changed the name of the Central Executive Committee to the Supreme Soviet Union. Like its predecessor, this assembly consists of two chambers, the Unitary Councils and the National Assembly. Although the Soviets propagated the constitution written by Joseph Stalin, the fact is that the constitution was written by a special commission composed of several prominent figures. Of the four Soviet constitutions, the 1936 constitution is the longest surviving. Finally, the constitution was replaced in 1977. Now we're moving forward to December 5, 1958, where the Indonesian Atomic Energy Agency was formed, later to become the National Nuclear Energy Agency. The development and utilization of nuclear technology in Indonesia began with the establishment of a State Committee for Radioactive Inquiry in 1954. The State Committee has the task of the investigating possible radioactive fallout from nuclear weapons testing in the Pacific Ocean. Considering the development of atomic energy utilization for the welfare of the people, then through the Government Regulation No. 65 of 1958, on December 5, 1958, the Atomic Energy Council and the Atomic Energy Agency were formed. They were later refined into the National Atomic Energy Agency. Since then, every December 5th is designated as the Batam's anniversary. Let's end today's In History with December 5th, 2013, where Nelson Mandela, a South African statesman, passed away. Nelson Mandela is an anti-apartheid fighter and South African politician who served as president of South Africa from 1994 to 1999. In Africa, Mandela is widely regarded as the father of the nations and the founding father of democracy. Mandela was the first black South African presidential elected with full representation in a multiracial election. His government focused on abolishing the influence of apartheid by eradicating racism, poverty, and inequality, and promoting racial reconciliation. As an African nationalist and democratic socialist, Mandela has served as president of the African National Congress from 1991 to 1997. In addition, Mandela had been general secretary of the Non-Aligned Movement from 1998 to 1999. Mandela received much praise from the international world. In 1993, he received the Nobel Peace Prize with former South African President F.W. de Klerk. On December 5, 2013, Nelson Mandela died of a lung infection. Listener, that was Today in History, our editorial service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumari.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this day in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listeners, nice to be with you again in our regular program, Focused. The title of today's Focus is Indonesia elected as member of Executive Board of the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons. Indonesia was elected as a member of the Executive Board of the Organization for Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, OPCW. Indonesia was also appointed as chairman of the FREDCON for Review Conference 2018, which was stipulated at the 22nd OPCW conference on Friday, that was attended by 192 member countries. The second secretary of the political function of Embassy of Republic of Indonesia in the Hague, concurrently permanent representative of the Republic of Indonesia for OPCW, Mahmudin Nur Al-Ghazali, as quoted by Antara News Agency, explained that the election of Indonesia is a recommendation of the agreement at the Asian group level. The meeting took place since 27 November and finally Indonesia, Iraq, Iran and Pakistan agreed to become members of OPCW Executive Board for the period 2018-2020. The four countries are joined by other Asian countries, namely Saudi Arabia, India, Japan, South Korea and China, which are currently members of the Executive Board of the Asian Group. Meanwhile, the Indonesian ambassador to the Kingdom of Netherlands, concurrently permanent representative of the Republic of Indonesia to OPCW, I Gusti Agung Wesaka Puja, said that the membership of Indonesia in the OPCW Executive Board will start on May 12, 2018 until May 11, 2020. The assistance of Indonesia in the OPCW Executive Board was the greedy part of the solidarity of Asian member countries, which is currently regarded as one of the informal sub-regional coalition forces within the Asian group. The election of Indonesia as a member of OPCW Executive Board is the second time in Indonesian membership history of OPCW since 1998. Indonesia was a member of the Executive Board of 2000 until 2002. In the conference, Indonesia's chairman, the Pritkon for Review Conference, was agreed. This proved that other countries believe Indonesia's role and contribution to the issue of chemical weapons. In addition to maintain the trust, Ambassador Wesaka Puja also said that Indonesia should continue to play its role more actively and constructively in the prohibition of chemical weapons in a bid to realize and maintain world peace and security. Ambassador Wesaka further explained that some priorities will be of interest of OPCW member countries in the future, including the role of the OPCW to ensure that all states to the Chemical Weapon Convention carry out their obligation relating to chemical weapons as stipulated in the convention. The OPCW needs to anticipate if the owners of the chemical weapons fail to fulfill their commitment in destroying their chemical weapons by 2023. The future of the OPCW will depend on how the provisions of the KSK Chemical Weapons Convention are implemented now, and disobedience to the CWC will affect the legitimacy and credibility of the OPCW in the future, as well as an obstacle to the destruction of chemical weapons. Well, listener, that was Focus Today. Thanks for listening.
Here is our news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has revealed the reason to nominate Marshal Hadi Cahyanto for the Armed Forces TNI Chief. Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Egypt, in cooperation with Directorate General of National Export Development Indonesian Ministry of Trade, hold a business forum of palm and coffee sector in Cairo on December 5 to 9, 2017. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that the government has formed many financial institutions to support research and downstream of technological innovation. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Monday held focus group discussion with the theme Preparing for a World Indonesianist Congress, Role of Generation Z. Remembering West Kalimantan, which is wider than Java Island, the region needs longer time to build road infrastructure. The Bali Civil Society and Media Forum began its annual meeting in Banten on Tuesday. The meeting initially scheduled in Bali was moved because of the Mount Agung eruption. The last item, the demand for coconut flour product from North Sulawesi province from European countries is quite high at the end of 2017, because before Christmas and New Year, there is a considerable increase in demand. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Gresik Regency, East Java Province. Stay tuned. Listener, Gresik is one of regencies in East Java Province. The regency is one of the main industrial areas in East Java. The cement industry is very famous in the country. Although the region is known as an industrial area, this region also has a variety of interesting tourism destinations to be visited. Speaking about tourism, the region is known with its historical sites and coastal attractions. Bordered with the Java Sea in the north, the beach has a row of beautiful beaches. One of them is Delagan Beach. Delagan Beach, or also known as Goro Indah Delagan Tourism or WISIT, which is administratively located in Delagan Village, Panceng Sub-District, Gresik Regency, East Java Province. The distance is about 40 kilometers from the center of Gresik City, which can be reached by land road. From the city center to the beach, you can enjoy panoramic views of expanse of ponds and rows of limestone. The green of the countryside will bring its own enchantment to the Delagan village. To enter Delagan beach area, you are required to pay 10,000 rupiah for adult visitors and 6,000 rupiah for children. Meanwhile, the visitors are also required to pay 2,500 rupiah for motorcycle and 5,000 rupiah for car and 10,000 rupiah for buses. The 2.5 hectares Delagan Beach has a white sand beach and soft, in contrast to other beaches in Gresik. The seawater is clear, so that it is safe for anyone who wants to swim to enjoy the freshness of the water. If you cannot swim, but want to enjoy the freshness of seawater, you can rent a buoy tire with only 5,000 rupiah for the small one and 10,000 rupiah for the big one. During your visit to the Delagan beach, you can also get around the sea by canoe or fishing or just enjoying the air and scenery around the beach. Listener, once tired of the swimming and rowing the canoe, you can sit on the chairs which are available at the edge of the beach with only 20,000 rupiah. For those who are kite fans, you can also playing kites on the beach. In the late afternoon, you will enjoy the beauty of the sunset on the beach. The Delagan beach is equipped with restaurants, bathrooms and worship place for Muslims or musola. Listener, that was the segment of Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Delagan Beach. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, and the Agency for Language Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Saya suka sekali pedas, or in English, I love hot, spicy food. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice, and you can repeat after me. Suka sekali. Suka sekali, in English, to love or to like very much. Pedas. Pedas. In English, spicy hot. Membeli. Membeli. In English, to buy. Mau. Mau. In English, to want. Saus tomat. Saus tomat. In English, tomato ketchup. Saus sambal. Saus sambal. In English, chili sauce. Menaruh. Menaruh. In English, to put. Terlalu banyak. Terlalu banyak. In English, too much. Mengapa. Mengapa. In English, why. Makan. Makan. In English, to eat. Tidak enak. Tidak enak. In English, not delicious. Raja pedas. Raja pedas. In English, king of chili. Next is a conversation on Saya suka sekali pedas, or in English, I love hot spicy food. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice, and you can repeat after me. The conversation is between Rama, A, and Andy, B, at home. A. Andy, saya tadi membeli hotdog dan hamburger. Apakah kamu mau? Andy, saya tadi membeli hotdog dan hamburger. Apakah kamu mau? In English. Andy, I've bought a hot dog and hamburger. Do you want some? B. Saya mau hot dog. Saya mau hot dog. In English. I'd like hot dog. A. Mau pakai saus tomat tidak? Mau pakai saus tomat tidak? In English. With tomato ketchup or not? B. Saya mau yang pedas. Apakah kamu punya saus sambal? Saya mau yang pedas. Apakah kamu punya saus sambal? In English, I want it spicy hot. Do you have some chili sauce? A. Ada? Ada? In English, yes I do. Hey, kamu menaruh saus sambalnya terlalu banyak. Mengapa kamu sangat suka sekali pedas? Hey, kamu menaruh saus sambalnya terlalu banyak. Mengapa kamu sangat suka sekali pedas? In English, hey, you put too much chili sauce. Why do you like chili so much? B. Makan hotdog kalau tidak pedas tidak enak. Makan hotdog kalau tidak pedas tidak enak. In English, eating hotdog without chili is not delicious. A. Wah, kamu memang suka sekali pedas. Kamu adalah raja pedas. Wah, kamu memang suka sekali pedas. Kamu adalah raja pedas. In English, wow, you really love hot spicy food. You are the king of chili. Let's listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, I'm Nugroho Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present dangdut songs. Stay tuned.
Judi membuat hidup menderita.
jangan dekati dia, jangan temani dia. Judi membawa malapetaka, judi membawa sejuta bencana.
The dangdut singer Hamdan Atete has just dedicated the song entitled Mabuk Judi. This song, which was released in 1987, tells about the negative impact of gambling, which can make miserable. The song Mabuk Judi was composed by Mohtar B. It is one of the 10 songs which included in the album entitled Mabuk Judi. The album is one of Hamdan's solo albums. Supported by Mohtar B as a music stylist, this album sounds easy listening. The song Mabuk Judi managed to become hits among the music lovers. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Termiskin di Dunia by Hamdan Atete. Happy listening.
Sebelum terlanjur, pikir-pikirlah dulu. Sebelum engkau menyesal kemudian. Aku
Hamdan At-Tamimi is a senior Indonesian dangdut singer who has been known with his songs of dangdut original genre. Hamdan At-T started his career in dangdut music at the age of 30. At the time, he entered the first recording with the production of the debut album entitled Petualang Cinta. The second album was released in 1980 with the title Pendusta, while Termiskin di Dunia is the collection of his third album. The third album, with the leading song Termiskin di Dunia, has raised the name of Hamdan At-T in the dangdut music industry in the country. At that time, the album has sold 1.2 million copies. Composed by himself, the song Termiskin di Dunia likened a struggle in love someone, but blocked by material. He feels himself is the poorest person in the world. In general, this song tells about the love story between the poor and the rich. Like the previous Hamdan songs, the music is original dangdut. Well, listener, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Bekas Pacar and Sepiring Berdua by Hamdan At-T. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Juga masih punya perasaan sama seperti dirimu, ingin cinta, ingin kasih, ingin sayang sama juga seperti dirimu. Tapi mengapa masih punya perasaan sama seperti dirimu, ingin cinta, ingin kasih, ingin sayang sama juga seperti dirimu. Ingin kasih, ingin
saya sama juga seperti dirimu. Masih punya perasaan sama seperti dirimu, ingin cinta, ingin kasih, ingin sayang sama juga seperti dirimu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Bye.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.